welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast.
My name is Tom Bump, and this is also a Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We're doing two things at once, proof that kid ministry people can, in fact, do multiple tasks at one time. Look at that. We are so good. But we want you to come on in and join us. Sit back, relax, grab a notepad, grab some coffee, your favorite beverage, and come join us as we talk about unleashing our inner kid. And of course, again, we're going to be taking questions live if you have them. So feel free to do that if you're listening on the podcast. We're sorry that you missed us, but the good news is my guest Ben Folks is part of the KMC, has been for a long time, and can interact with you. If you have a question, you can just tag him in the Facebook group, and he will gladly answer you. So if you have questions about creativity and need some ideas, you can do that. So Ben, welcome, man. Good to see you on a Wednesday.
Man, I'm loving this. Hey, thanks for letting me be a part of it. Love what you guys are doing through the KMC community. Man, just so many people in children's ministry and youth ministry that are just going through the same thing. We're just trying to figure out this stuff and trying to do it well and for all God's glory. And so, man, I love being in part of a community that can we can just come together. And so thank you for inviting me. I love the fact that we can have some fun on Zoom as well as podcast. And so hopefully my Southern drawl doesn't turn anybody off with that podcast thing going
on. Oh, it's fine, man. It's all good. But hey, you know, yeah, you're right. I mean, right now, there's no doubt we all have been running hard. Everybody has been producing. In fact, I even saw it on the KMC Facebook group today of people expressing how, man, I'm just tired and worn out from all the video production and editing and curriculum development and editing there and then sharing it and trying to get stuff done. And a lot of people are feeling it right now. They're running on fumes. In fact, I saw in another Facebook group, my friends from INCM, actually, I think it was on Instagram, saying, hey, what are some things that you need as a leader? And so many people said, I just need a break. I'm running out. I'm dry. I'm tired. And when we get like that, oftentimes that's when creativity starts to nosedive. And so you and I were talking the other day and had a great time, and all of a sudden, man, both of us, because we're both creative, like, but I think you're way more creative, but when I get around you, all of a sudden it's like both of somebody pulled our strings and we just started brainstorming and coming up with ideas. And I'm like, dude, we got to do this on KMC, and we got to do a podcast, we got to do Facebook, and we got to get you out there speaking some, because this is good stuff. And so everybody, I convinced him to come on and to share with us, because Ben's got some good stuff. But what I want to do is I want to ask you, because we're all feeling it, how do you stir up some creativity in a season like this? What do you do? Because this is a tough time. And then I'm going to ask you about how do you give us some principles about how we can unleash our inner kid. So, but I want to start out with, how do you first keep yourself refreshed, and how are you feeling in this season?
Man, I tell you what, I am nowhere close to the answer on creativity, but it is something that in my life I have channeled. Like I want creativity to be, what are you known by? That is on my tombstone. I want people to say, this dude was creative. This dude had paint flowing out of his ears. Like, whatever it is, I want to be known for thinking differently. And it's sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's not, but it's training yourself to be able to do that. I mean, even growing up, I was a kid who you put me outside and give me a stick and it becomes a sword and I'm fighting in a knight's army. You put me in with a bowl and I create the best mud pie in the community. Like it, whatever it is, I'm going to find something fun out of it. And I think in life and trying to get involved in children's ministry, it's the same way. We are handed something, and how long we last and how long before we get frustrated or whatever is how we approach every situation. Like in a woods with a stick where there's hundreds of sticks, you can look overwhelming, but what is that stick that you hold and what can you do with it that makes it fun, makes it exciting? Yeah. 1999, I was called into children's ministry, not knowing exactly what it was because I was in college studying graphic design, marketing. And 2 years into college, I realized that school wasn't for me. I realized that was not fun. And I quit to join the circus, become a professional clown. And I went to a year of clown school. And I think that shaped a lot of my mentality of life just has to have the fun factor.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the fun factor, you're going to let the stresses take you over. You're going to feel overwhelmed. So I went to clown school, Kloundergarten to be effect, my name. So I graduated from Kloundergarten.
That's awesome.
And then went into Bible college after that to kind of really take that to a more knowledgeable and how I could be more, I could bring joy, but yet I could also bring the ultimate joy as the knowledge of Jesus to the kids' lives. Through that, ended up starting a church in 2000 and been in children's ministry ever since. I've started, helped start three churches. I'm now a part of a church who is a multi-site church here in the Cleveland, Ohio area. And we're constantly starting campuses. So every 2 years, you're having to channel that creativity one more time. Like, let's do it again. Let's launch again. Let's launch again. Let's launch again. And when you have that fresh thing that keeps you going, there's no time to stop thinking. and so for me, I guess creativity is always being aware with what's in front of you. And you may not use it at that moment, but finding a file system, whether it's your phone notepad or you have a brain that's amazing and you can keep stuff inside of that, or even just a Evernote or a notepad that you put in the back of your pocket, but always be aware of what's in front of you because you never know when you're going to need an idea like that. Or you come up with something brilliant and you need to go back to it. Because you come to a point where I have nothing new, I have nothing exciting. Then you go back, a couple years ago though, maybe it would work this time. And then that stems a conversation, in your head and then this creative idea. One of the most hilarious quotes, on creativity that I remember is called, I don't even know who said it, but the quote is beg, borrow, and steal, and make it your own. And that's what creativity is. I don't even know who said
it. There you go.
Beg, borrow, and steal, and then make it your own. So ideas will come at you flying, but what are you going to do with those ideas? Because what works for one church may not work for your church. What works for one ministry could look totally different at yours, but it's the points and the things that you got from it when you observe something that you take and make it your own. And that's where creativity kicks in. So that's kind of a little history of me. I've been doing children's ministry for 20 years and I'm not anywhere close to slowing down. I hope. Good. God willing.
Yeah. No, we don't want you to slow down. No, man. Now, and I really truly believe that now is the time we've really got to start channeling our inner kid, because as we start to come back together, I don't like saying reopen the church, because again, I don't believe the church is closed ever. But when it comes time to reopen and reengage with children's ministry full blast, we're going to need that energy again. And now's the time to actually think about what can we do differently and how can we renew ourselves and our minds in this. And I really do think now is the time for leaders to be out in front of it. Don't wait for it to happen, but get in front of it. Start now. But I know some that are going to listen to this or watching this right now or listening to the podcast are going to say, I'm too worn out for this. I have no creative juices left. What are we going to do? Because this is the time more than ever as the church comes back to the building, so to speak. We've got to get outside the building and we've got to continue to minister to those that have been watching us now and observing us a lot closer. So it is time to unleash our kids. So Ben, I'm going to open it up for you a little bit. And I would love for you to share. I know you've got five really cool principles. I was cheating and looked in your notes that you want to share with us. And I may pop in with some questions, but I'm gonna let you chat away and then I'll jump in as we get a question or two. Dude, what are some things that people can do to start channeling that inner kid and renewing that excitement and passion for children's ministry?
Well, like I said, I am nowhere the king or master on creativity, but it is something that, you know, I study creativity, because when you get to that point, like you're talking about, where you feel overwhelmed, where there's nothing that you feel you can do, then you're not remembering the why God put you in that spot in the first place. And I don't want to be at that spot ever, to where I have to go back and remember God's calling on my life in 1999 to minister to kids. Now, that in 1999 looks a way different than it does in 2020. But there are five things that I personally do as I study creativity, as I study ways to stay creative. As a graphic designer in college, my professor, his one way was, he says, every day I want you to change your computer desktop screen. He said, because I don't want you looking at the same thing. When you start to become numb to everything that's in front of you, you're losing your creative thing. And that's not one of my top five principles.
Yeah, but that's a good one right there, man, that we need, because we do. We get into a set routine all the time. And even though COVID took us out of our set routine, we established a new one. And so you're right. So I think I'm going to pop that on the top of the list, that one way to break out of the post-COVID coma and to start lighting that fire, you know, kick the tires, light the fire, is change it up a little bit. Maybe it's even as simple as changing up your home screen. There we go. Harry, what's your top one? Yeah, your first top one.
When I go through life, you know, like I said, I'm always observing different things. But my first one is what I call these five characters of creativity, or my five principles to staying creative. And the first one is this. You got to channel your inner kid. You got to know where a kid can be a kid. And I know you've heard that theme before, when Toys R Us was in. Where a kid can be a kid.
I miss that store.
So I miss that store too. And this little guy right here, I keep in my office as a reminder. You know who that is? That's Jeffrey.
Jeffrey.
Giraffe from Toys R Us. If you know the story, Toys R Us was a toy store with everything that you could imagine. That's where you could go. What is hot, what is not, they had it all. And I would, throughout years of ministry, every month, I would set aside a time just to walk through the Toys R Us aisle. I know Amazon kind of came in, took over as the place to go. You can't really observe all the toys on an Amazon wish list or whatever like you could observe by walking through the aisles of Toys R Us. So this is a reminder to me. It's like, go places where a kid can be a kid and examine what is going on in a kid's life. For me, ever since college, the same professor that told me to change my desktop screen on our computer is the same professor that said, take a time and walk down the cereal aisle at your local grocery store. He says, now look at this aisle. It is packed full of boxes. And in every aisle, you'll see a plethora of the same type of thing, cereal. What's going to grab the person's attention and say, hey, I need that cereal? Well, it's the marketing. It's the eye-catchingness of the box. That is the thing that's going to sell you. Like, you didn't think you needed Cookie Crisp, but look at that box. Cookie Crisp is calling your name. And you grab that box down, and you take it home, and you regret it later that you just ate a box full of cookies. But it was the moment that it grabbed you.
Yes.
And so walk down that cereal aisle. Walk through Toys R Us. Now, Toys R Us is back in action. And they came back realizing that it's not about having a plethora of toys. I don't know if you've read about, they came back with a store that's more interactive now. Based on, in order to sell a toy to a kid, the kid needs to interact. It needs to be an experience, a place to visit, and then feel like that is the toy for them. So my first point is, you know, where can a kid be a kid? You know, channel that inner kid, walk down the cereal aisle, walk through Walmart toy section, Target toy section. I still do that every week. It may not be the smartest thing because I end up buying toys like crazy, but what is going through the lives of these kids? And you'll see that on an aisle, and you'll see these on cereal boxes because they got to stay fresh, because when mama is walking down the aisle with the kid in tow, the kid is going to be begging, and they know that. And that's why they have Toucan Sam and Tony the Tiger and all those cereal mascots, is because they're trying to grab the heart of a child. And I think that's what Toys R Us is doing now. And I think it's brilliant, is they took a second step back and says, what is the most creative way to get back in it, get the kids buying toys and not going to Amazon.com or not going online to purchase a toy. And that's we want to grab their heart. And what is the best way to do that? And so for my first principle in life is make a visit, walk down an aisle and just take it all in. What is the most eye-catching thing for you? Take a kid with you. What's the most eye-catching thing for them? And so that's my first principle. My second principle.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
And I love toys. So yes, I'm going to kind of go with the five characters of creativity. But and I'm going to kind of go back to my 90s childhood, the George Jetson. You remember the Meet George Jetson?
Yes.
His what?
See, it's stuck in your head. But what I loved about Jetson was he was in this world of technology, but yet he had one of the most simple jobs in the world of technology, to press buttons. And so one of the things that I have on my desk is a reminder, like, I don't know if you can hear it, but when I press this button, it's the big red button, you'll hear Spacely Sprockets yelling, Jetson! And it's a reminder to me to not be scared to press that big red button. You know, you see all these movies, whatever you do, don't press the big red button. You see TV shows where for some reason that red button does something that we have no idea what it is. Or that big red button creates something that's not supposed to happen. And so for me, my principle, and the reason I have a big red button on my desk, is you can't be scared to press the big red button.
Right.
Now, some people may call me a rebel in this, but here's the deal. Things constantly change. And in ministries, I've been a part of really conservative churches. I've been part of seeker-friendly churches. I've been a part of a discipleship-type church. I've been part of churches that do things completely different. And I've seen in every different environment that I've been in, that pushing that big red button could cause some questions. Pushing that big red button could cause possibly your job. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, for me, that thing is, do your homework. Yes, Ben, do your homework. Make sure you're not going to kill yourself and put yourself in a position where your job is on the line. But don't be afraid to push the button. And don't be afraid to see what happens with something that you feel is where God has called you to. God has called you to reach children in a community that may not be church, you know, churchy. Or God may have called you to reach a part of the church that, you know, no one's ever touched. Why? Because right. They're afraid everybody's opinion matters. And for me, it's like, but what did God say, care about what everybody thinks? Or he said, reach the children and lead them to Christ. Mm. And that is my why. And so for me, my why is tread closely and lightly, but don't be afraid to push that button. Yeah. You may get the whole, but have a reason and a why behind what you're doing.
Yes.
But don't be scared to say, you know what? It's time that I'm going to push that button and see what happens, because I believe this is what God has brought me to. And keep that in prayer and be, you know, be very careful when you do press that button, but don't be afraid to press a button. Yeah. And so for me, that's constantly in my face, because I don't want to be so stuck in one way, because that's the way it's always been at our church. Or I don't want to push too many buttons, but this is the button that I know is going to get me to where God called me to, and that's reaching the kids. And so it may come with some screaming, it may come with some bad name calling or whatever, but at the end of the day, I'm doing what God called me to, and I'm responsible to what I feel God has led me to do.
Yeah. And can I just say,
that's dangerous.
Yeah, it is. And but in this season of change for all of us, the one thing that I sense, there's a lot of children's pastors that as the church is coming back together, as right now, a lot of ministries, there's no children's ministries functioning. It's all in the main service. You know, you're either watching online, you're doing drive through, you're doing scattered around the room, whatever it is. And yet I feel like there, you know, children's pastors get it. They know that somebody needs to talk to the kids in the room, let them acknowledge that they're there, make it feel like they belong, all of those things, because the kids are so used to having something for them, designed for them, where they can, a kid can be a kid. And now for this season, all of a sudden we're saying, no kids, you have to come into the big room and be an adult.
Don't be afraid to go to your pastor and say, look, and I actually went through this as well just last week. It's like, I'm getting feedback that, you know, the kids do their lesson online and then they come back into the room, and it is right at the point where you're making, you know, you're bringing it all together, and it's chaos. Kids are running, jumping, screaming, and you lose the parents' attention completely. So how can we together figure out the best way to do that? And so we switched up our service because our pastor listened to us, but that's not always going to happen.
Right.
A lot of your pastors are stuck in their ways, and that's okay. But as the children's person, or as the person that is the voice of the child, you say, look, I hear what our parents are going through, and how can we minister well to the families in our church? Maybe it's taking a second to sit down at a table, push that red button and say, what you're doing is not working. How could we make it work? And at least your voice is heard, whether or not they go forward and try to change that. You are speaking for the families. You are speaking for the kids. And at the end of the day, our goal is to make disciples and to lead people to Christ. And if it's not working, that button has to be pushed, and that conversation has to be had. And I know a lot of times that's a hard thing, because not everybody is is vocal, or, you know, I don't want to ask that question.
But you said some good stuff, though. If you're going to go do it, have your ducks lined up, know your stuff, do some research, get some feedback. So you have hard facts of, hey, I've talked to, you know, 5 families or 10 families. That's pretty good representation of our church. And they want more engagement for their kids and this and that. You know, when you go to your pastor like that, out of respect for him and his leadership, that's going to make him look better, or her look better, to say, hey, we're going to acknowledge that there's kids in our service. And so we're going to use an illustration that kids can grab onto, or we're going to use an object lesson here, or we're going to have a song that adults and kids can sing. You know, you don't have to use all the kids' crazy songs, but you can use some of them in the service. And so why don't we, but if you have that conversation and you show you've got your ducks lined up, your Jeffries lined up, and then go for it. So, all right. So we've got where a kid can be a kid. We got press the big red button. I'm dying to know what number 3 is then.
Number 3 is probably one of my most favorite, and kind of goes off of where we just were, is, I don't know if you're a big fan, but I am a huge Mr. Rogers fan.
Mr. Rogers, yes.
I don't know if you have ever seen my office, you would know that Mr. Rogers is everywhere. I was first in line to watch the movie that just came out. Whatever it is, I grew up with Mr. Rogers. And for me, it just watching and remembering back of why Mr. Rogers was so effective at the time is because he listened to those kids. He knew the hot topic of the time, and he addressed it with those kids. Yes, so my third principle that I keep in my mind is, first one, where a kid can be a kid. Second one, press the big red button. And the third one is, know your hood. Know your neighborhood. And so Mr. Rogers sits up in my desk and stares at me, and it's because he knew what was going on in the kids' lives, and he addressed it. As we are in children's ministry, we know better than anyone who we're trying to minister to. And if you don't, then you need to, because how are you going to keep a kid's attention? How are you going to keep them talking about what they're learning way after they leave the church on Sunday? How does children's ministry and God and Jesus become a day-to-day conversation at home? It's, how do you know what is working and what's not? Well, understand the children. Understand your hood, your neighborhood that you are in. Like, God has given you these families, whether it's your church, in your neighborhood, if you're ministering in the community. One of the things I love to do is I love to go into the school system. And I know I've been on a podcast here before where we talked about getting into the school system. Getting into a place where kids don't go to church, and finding out what makes kids excited. And you're going to find out YouTube is one of them. Video games is one of them. Sports is one of them. And those are the things that grab a kid's attention. And so if you have a platter of different things sitting in front of a kid, what are they going to focus their attention on? Your goal as a children's director, as a children's pastor, someone who works in children's ministry or youth ministry or family ministry, whatever that is to know your neighborhood, like know who you're ministering to. That's why going back to walking down the kid aisle at the, you know, Walmart or Toys R Us or Target is so important, because they are trying to reach that neighborhood. Knowing what's going on in the lives of your family. Like, I have many conversations. So what do you do during the week? What are your kids when they have nothing to do? What are they going to what before bed, you know, what goes on? Do y'all have conversations? Do y'all pray together? And so by talking to families, by talking to kids, by examining and just looking and watching what goes on outside of the church, is where you're going to be most effective. And so know your hood, because at Sunday you could just be words, but I don't want to be words. I want to be effective. I want it to become a topic of conversation on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not just Sunday. And the reason it becomes a topic of conversation is because I grabbed the heart of a child. Jesus is now more important than a video game. And how do you do that? Well, know what's in their head, know what grabs their attention. And so for me, that's my third one is Mr. Rogers reminds me to know my neighborhood and address it and make it happen. Don't just know it, but make something out of it.
Yeah, he was so cool because of how he talked with kids, not at kids. He talked with them, and he really did listen and wanted to know, and he didn't force his way in. They really, I mean, I always invited, I loved watching, I mean, his storytelling ability, the things he came up with was remarkable.
Did you see in the movie where he knew everything about that reporter before he even talked to the reporter? So he did his homework.
Yes.
So that he could help that reporter and get to know that reporter long before he even met that reporter. And I think he did that with kids. He did his research before he addressed anything. And then he invited kids into that conversation in that TV show. And I'm a huge Mr. Rogers fan because of that.
Yeah. If you want to learn about communication, about listening, just study Fred Rogers for a while. We'll go watch some of the videos, read the books about him. Go check out the museum in Pittsburgh. I've still got to get over there. I haven't been there yet. That's on my bucket list, is to get there and go check that place out. But yeah. All right. So we got where a kid can be a kid, press the big red button, know your hood. What's number four?
Number four is one of my probably most controversial ones. You thought the big red button was controversial. In order to stay creative, the norm is not a thing. And as you know, I try to get into school systems and I try to understand the culture of where kids are and what they're being taught. I like to watch cartoons continually because I want to stay fresh. I want to know, how am I going to make Jesus more in a kid's life than anything that the culture is throwing at us, whether it's Pokemon or, you know, Dragon Ball Z or any cartoon that's in, you know, a kid's life, whatever it is, they're going to fall in love with it. And I want them to fall in love with Jesus. And so there's going to be times where church has to look different. And your children's ministry is going to have to look different. Do you see felt boards being used on television or anything like that? Do you see, and I'm not against it, trust me, I'm not against felt boards. I'm not against puppets. It's whatever's most effective. But what I see is not that. And so I've got to realize that I've got to break down this wall of, this is how church should look. This is how children's ministry should be, because this is what works.
Yeah.
And I have to break down the walls of that. This is how it's always been. In order to be creative, we can't always stop where things have stopped before. And we got to break down the wall. So my character for this one that reminds me to break down the walls is one of my all-time favorites, Kool-Aid Man. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. And he breaks down the walls and he comes at kids with a fresh flavor. That one hurt.
But the Kool-Aid Man. You need some Kool-Aid now?
Yes. The Kool-Aid Man is a great reminder that not even a wall of tradition should slow down your creativity. That's tweetable right there. I'm going to have to remember that one.
Yeah.
The wall of traditions to slow down creativity, because things have already been done and everybody has probably looked at every single way to be effective in children's ministry to that wall. But what's going to make you stand out? What's going to make your children's ministry stand out more than a television show? Or what's going to make your children's ministry going to be a hot topic at home. Well, you got to break down that wall of realizing that church is just for Sunday or church is just for the weekend. And you got to realize that there's more out there past that wall. You just got to jump through it like the Kool-Aid man. Oh, yeah. And what happens is you're going to find that, man, we can have so much fun in children's ministry. We don't necessarily have to be a teacher in front of a stage of kids or around a circle. We can make videos. We can go and do dance parties in front of their house. There's so much you can do when you know your neighborhood and when you're not afraid to say, you know what? I've never seen that done before. So what? Let's do it. You can learn and say, okay, we're never doing that again. Or you can say, man, because of that, look what opportunities lie way ahead because we just broke down that wall. So that wall doesn't exist anymore. And we have an opportunity to do this, to do this, to do this. And man, sky is the limit. Your creativity, yes. It just even opened up a whole new door. But you got to jump through that wall and realize that, you know, children's ministry, especially right now, many churches are starting back without children's ministry, and that's okay. But how can you get in the lives of these families at home?
Right.
How can you become less what I call mud on the computer? Like there's so many YouTube channels. There's so much on Facebook. There's so much coming at a kid right now. Yeah. What's going to make Jesus stand out? At the beginning of this, this pandemic, we were doing YouTube videos. We quickly realized, okay, let's do interactive Zoom meetings. Within this is where we broke down the wall. And we said, all right, that's awesome. But that only lasted for a month because we realized that kids were getting tired of Zoom because they were doing it on school. So now let's go show up in their driveway and do dance parties and tell them, you know, that we love them. That lasted for a month. Why? Because we're constantly looking ahead. We broke the wall and said, what does our neighborhood of families need? We broke down that wall and it's continually growing. And now we're delivering pizza boxes to their house filled with curriculum and filled with challenges, summer challenges that they can win prizes. Why? Because that wall came down and said, what's different? Let's just keep going. And it may not last for a while. We may learn, ooh, let's go again. Let's go again. And once you break down a wall, you see so much, but you have to not be scared to move forward. So for me, number four was the Kool-Aid man. Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Ben, I think one of the things that we've also got to remember and not be afraid of is sometimes we're going to hit the wall and we're going to bounce off. We're going to fail at something. And that's okay. Now, I know for some people are going, yeah, if I fail, I've lost my job or whatever. Well, I'm sorry if that's the environment that you're in. Hey, reach out. I'll talk to you. I've been in those environments. I've found ways to work inside those. I can help you there. But it's not impossible to find a way around a wall sometimes. You don't always have to break through it. But I love that concept that right now, man, we have got to go try some new things. And we've got to get outside the box and we've got to be not afraid to just run through. And yes, sometimes we're going to bounce off, but otherwise we're going to break through and we're going to see something that's new and exciting. And that's what right now our kids need to see, that because you're right. They can go on YouTube and find a lot of creativity out there, a lot of fun stuff. And if all we're doing is sitting online talking at them, we're missing it. We're missing the ball and we can't, it's stakes are too high right now, for us to do that. So, I like that. Be the Kool-Aid man.
And it's cool. Cause like I've learned through breaking down this wall of, hey, we have so much opportunity where people were looking at this as like, man, there's no church, there's no children's ministry. I don't know what to do. And for me, it's like, oh, we just opened up the world of I'm going to entertain and I'm going to build relationships. And so how am I going to do that on both realms? To answer Colleen on Facebook, she jumps in and says, what's your best, most effective outreach tool? I go back to your community. What is the best way to reach your community? We live in a lower income community right outside of Cleveland. And what we found out was they love to get together in parks. And if you have a hot dog grill, you can get the community out.
Yep.
And so we literally brought bouncy houses in. We brought ball pits. We made our own ball pits. We just had what we called having a ball. And we had no agenda, but just to love like Jesus. And so they came in because of free food or because of the fun inflatables and the balloons. And we just showed them that, you know what? We care about you. You don't have to come to our church to be loved. We come to you and, you know, we just love like Jesus, because the relationship that you build is going to open up another conversation.
Yes.
The relationship you build is that wall that you just broke through to be able to tell them about Jesus, because they're not going to listen to you until you have their attention. Yeah. And that their attention was just to be loved. And that was probably, we did that a couple years ago. And we went to all these parks and we just loved on people.
That's awesome.
And so Colleen, man, that was a great question.
That's a great question. Yeah. Because I think this is where we can get creative. We don't, you know, a lot of people are just defaulting to, okay, I got to do Bible school. Hey, you know what? Make Bible school look totally different. Like you say, go to a park, get some popsicles. And pass out popsicles and have some sprinkler set up or make some bubble solution up. And pass out Kool-Aid. Anything like that. It's simple, but it's effective just to go in and do this. So, we could get going because I don't want to pull the string on me because we've got number five coming up that I'm dying to know. So you got where a kid can be a kid, press the big red button, know the hood, break down the walls. What's number five?
All right. So you're probably looking at all my toys and like, man, this guy is pretty eclectic. But this one, I am the only one in my family that absolutely loves to sit here and watch this guy on TV, on movies. I will watch and look for memes on the computer because it cracks me up, but it is a great concept in his personality that I held on to throughout children's ministry. Like I said, 20 years in children's ministry, always thinking differently, always observing different things and keeping a note of what I observe, because you never know when you're going to be able to need or that's going to come up. Like I pulled out my notebook of ideas just for this pandemic thing going down. And I used a couple of them, but those were years ago when I actually saw something similar in the world. And I'm like, ooh, this would be great to do in the church. So my fifth one and my last character that just challenges me, like I said, these are just five challenges that I keep in front of me, is Mr. Bean. I'm a huge Mr. Bean fan. Oh, hold on. See, I got a couple Mr. Beans here. If you know Mr. Bean, you know that he doesn't talk much. But he is the most curious man I've ever seen. It gets him in so much trouble sometimes. But Mr. Bean, if he thinks of something, he tries to figure it out.
Yes.
So my next character, my last character, fifth one is Mr. Bean. It reminds me to be a little curious, because what gets Mr. Bean and what makes Mr. Bean who he is his curiosity. And so when he does something, sometimes it doesn't always turn out the way that he had expected. But at the end of the day, he becomes the hero. I don't know if you've ever watched a Mr. Bean TV show, but it's hilarious. My wife doesn't think so, but I think Mr. Bean is so funny because his curiosity takes him on a journey. And so for me, my number five is this: be curious, because you never know what's going to happen with that door that you just opened. You know, break down that wall. You never know what's on the other side of that wall. press the big red button. You never know what's going to happen or how things are going to get better once you make it through that, those conversations with your pastor, your families and your children ministry. There's always something bigger when you press forward. Yes. And so for me, Mr. Bean is, don't be afraid to be a little curious. Sometimes that means go to places that you never would have thought you would learn and just observe.
Yes.
Walk through the grocery aisle and look like an idiot as you look at all the boxes. But that's me. I'll stand there and I'll just examine the boxes. In fact, I will even try a cereal just to see if it's exactly the way it made me feel when I saw the box. I think I have about 6 or 7 boxes at home that the cereal was just nasty. But the box was really cool. So don't be afraid to be a little curious, because you never know what you'll learn from it. Take notes, write it down, create a way. Like I have an Evernote, which is also a cool way of taking notes. An iPhone that has a notepad. I used to, for years, carry a little notebook in the back of my pocket, and it was filled with ideas. And it may not even be words. It may just be a little sketch that I made as I saw something. I'm like, ooh, that would make a cool looking shape on a wall in our children's ministry, you know, or take a picture of it. We all have camera phones now, you know. Those are great ideas to hold on to. And just create a database that you can go back to, because creativity sometimes has to be, you're not going to get it right off. But creative thinking comes from a lot of research, a lot of practice, and a lot of conversations, getting to know the people that you're trying to be creative for. So my top five, where a kid can be a kid, you know, put yourself in situations where you see what's hot, press the big red button, have those conversations that move things forward. Know your hood, Mr. Rogers. I'm gonna see if I can hold them all in one hand here.
How creative can you be?
Don't be afraid to break down walls with the Kool-Aid man. And then Mr. Bean, hold on, I lost one. There it is.
There you go.
Don't be afraid to be curious. These are just five of my favorite characters that just remind me that, you know, always be thinking creative. And you may struggle getting creativity, but the thing that makes creativity easier, and this is why I call it channel your inner kid, is because a lot of times when we grow up, you know, you get Peter Pan, I don't want to grow up, you know, or a lot of times when we grow up, we stop looking at things like a child. And that's why these five characters keep me fresh. They keep me thinking like a kid. Because when we become an adult, we stop thinking like a child. We start focusing on the big H's, which I call hurt, hardships, headaches, hesitations. These are the things that keep you from thinking creative, because we're scared of what's on the other side of the wall. We know that it's going to cause some hurt, because somebody's not going to like me because I make a decision, or somebody's not going to like my opinion. It keeps us from being creative because we're focusing on the H's of life, hurt, hardship, hate, headaches, hesitations. Those all come into our minds and it pulls us back to say, I can't do it. And creativity says you can do it. You have to channel your inner kid. You have to think like a child. You do your five characters of creativity, you know, and think differently, so that you can move forward, or else you're going to stop at the H. You're going to stop wherever that H pops up in your life. When you lose the fun of childhood, you might as well stop.
Yeah.
So, and I don't want that for anybody. And so for me, my thing is, Ben, do not lose fun. If you can hold on to anything, hold on to fun. Yep. Because that's where a kid goes.
Yep.
They go to what is the most fun. And I want Jesus to be the most fun in their life. So how can I creatively get there? And that's been my focus, my challenge. And kind of my passion now is, like I told you at the beginning, on my tombstone, I want it to say super creative fun guy, not bacteria, but fungi.
Yeah,
because I just want to challenge people to think differently and not be scared to jump through walls, press buttons, and to always be looking at the best way of reaching who God has put you in front of.
Yes. So. And, you know, Ben, one of the things I love about you is that you do channel that a lot. And it's becoming more of a passion for you to help churches like this. And so you've started something that I truly believe is going to be something, and it's something that you and I are partnering together. I'm proud to say I'm a partner ministry with you in this endeavor, and wherever the KMC can dive in on this and the KMC coaching aspect. Share with the listeners a little bit about this new adventure that you've been working on to help churches and leaders as we need to reinvigorate this idea.
Man, so God has spoken to me countless times, and it's one of those things where, Ben, you need to start listening. So years and years of God trying to grab my attention, I'm part of these Facebook groups, and I'm seeing hurting leaders. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what else to do. I've used all my resources. I'm getting too old for children's ministry. I'm seeing all these things pop up, and it just hurts. You know, I'm 41, I think. Yeah. And it's one of those things like, yeah, that excuse comes in my head a lot, but I'm not old enough to help, because God has put me in this position. He called me to this position to work with kids. And so until I die, that's my calling.
Amen.
And it may look differently from working in a church. It may look differently from helping someone. And I even do graphics for people that I can help reach their kids. Why? Because I feel like God has put me in a spot that I must do everything I can, full force, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength, giving God glory in everything that He has given me. And so one of the things is that I'm seeing these H's pop up on Facebook, these hurts, hardships, these things that keep people from moving creatively through life. I'm seeing them pop up more and more and more, and just praying through it, God, how can I help? Because I don't like to focus on those. I know they happen and I try to move through them, but I can help people get through them, and I can help people channel their creativity. I can help people think differently, because I completely think differently. When I see an H come up, I don't even go to the H. I go to the opposite. It's kind of a downfall. People say I'm so optimistic. It's terrible. But I want to look differently. So, you know, throughout the years, God has put this on my mind to help churches and help children churches figure out how to reach the next generation. Some churches are so stuck behind this wall that they're afraid to move because they're – the uncertainty, right, or the lack of resources past this wall that they come up against. They don't know what, if they can even do it as a church. So my goal is, I created this ministry called Channel Your Inner Kid. For more information, you could go on to channelyourinnerkid.com. And I created a network of a team, inner kid, where you could join forces with us, and I can come on your team and help you get past those walls and reach that next generation. Whether it's we don't have enough resources within our church, well, I'm going to try to figure out and work towards helping you get resources. Let's find sponsors to help your church reach that next generation. Let me come on and be a part of your team to be a teammate, because a lot of times creativity doesn't just happen with one person. It comes in a group of people. So through a brainstorming session, I would be happy to sit down and chit chat with you and come up with some crazy stuff. I've learned that if it's something that I want in children's ministry to figure out how to do it, I'm going to learn. So I always wanted a mural. on one of my walls. So I watched YouTube videos and I contacted somebody who does murals and I said, teach me, let me come with you and do a mural. And through that, I created murals. We've done, we've painted murals all over the state of Ohio. I even did one in Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. And it's really cool because God has opened up a door that if you're not afraid to move past walls, you can learn, you can grow, and you're going to see this giant opportunity lie ahead. And so my channel, Your Inner Kid, is the things that I want to come alongside churches. I want to come alongside of children's ministry volunteers or children's ministry staff and say, let's push this wall down together. And you can't do it alone. Let me help you. And we can figure out the best way. I get to know your church and you get to know me and our team. We got a group of people that, you know, consultants that can come in. And so I'm super excited about it. It's just launching and just kicking off. So there's still, you know, what does that look like now through COVID-19? So I don't know. But I do know that this is what God has for me. And I pressed down a wall and I'm taking baby steps to figure that out. And until then, I'm just going to keep being faithful to what I feel God has been laying on my heart.
Yeah. So say that web address one more time.
channelyourinnerkid.com.
All right, there we go.
On the world wide webs.
There we go. Yeah, you know, I have next to my desk, I have a plaque that a friend of mine made with a Walt Disney quote that I absolutely love, especially in this season, where it says, "Laughter is timeless, imagination has no age, and dreams are forever." And I think, you know, when we laugh, when we imagine, when we dream, there's no way to avoid not channeling that inner kid. But when you stop laughing and when you stop dreaming and you stop using your imagination, that's a scary thing. And those are all warning signs that if you're laughing less, if you have less of an imagination for creativity and things, and you're not dreaming big dreams, maybe you need to step back for a season and take a rest and take a sabbatical and go visit Disney World or an amusement park around you and just watch people watch what they do, watch their environments, watch the sights, the smells, the sounds, all those kind of things. But well, we unfortunately got to wrap up, but thanks for Ben for sharing. Thanks Colleen for, which by the way, I was looking on Colleen's Facebook thing, not stalking, but just looking, having to see her name. And you obviously have something in common, Ben, because her picture for Facebook is she's in clown. So she is.
I would love to connect with you, Colleen. Find me on Facebook, Ben Folks, F-O-W-L-K-E-S. Man, I think we can get creative together. I'd love to hear about how you're impacting your community as well as clowning. Like I hung my clown thing up. It's got bad, you know, rep right now, but I've created another character. It's a new kind of clown, the Joy Germ. So you'll have to check that out on one of the former podcasts that Tom did.
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes too, so that for the podcast that people can go check out the previous podcast that we had. So, all right, well, that's it. We are out of time, and so I want to say thanks for listening, thanks for watching, we're looking forward to seeing and hearing in the KMC Facebook group about some of your creativity, or if you're stuck, reach out. Let's work together, because that's what the community is all about. So thanks again for watching and listening, and join me again for another KMC podcast.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills and ministries. So let us know. on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.